Hello everyone, it's George from Ireland. I always sort of leap out at you because it only shows me the timer a few seconds in. It's good not to speaking immediately when it goes to one, because sometimes it cuts off the first syllable, but here we are. Then you'll watch me for a few seconds and finally I'm in contact. But this is about the Ukrainian conflict. It's been going on for how long is it now? Is it 517 days? And it occurs to me that the Black Sea is crucial to all of this. Russia's desire to end Ukraine's status as a country with a littoral, to make it landlocked and therefore far more difficult to export things, because yes, they can export things by road and rail, but there isn't the road and rail capacity to export all their exports. Yes, they can send some grain out, but not enough of it. It's more expensive per kilometer by road and rail than it is by sea, and so forth. You can't go fishing. Not that sea fish are a huge part of the, or is a huge part of the Ukrainian diet. To safeguard Crimea, which obviously Russia has been illegally occupying for over 9 years, to provide the land corridor to Transnistria, the illegally occupied portion of the Republic of Moldova. There are Russian troops, they call them peacekeepers, been there for 33 years illegally. And Russia's excuse for that is, get this, they can't remove their weapons. Right. So they've been able to remove their weapons from all over the world. They took things back from Cuba, from South Yemen or whatever, but they can't take them back from Moldova. Are they the most grossly incompetent military in the world ever? And that's the kind of flagrant lie that the Putin regime is built on. So much of this revolves around the Black Sea. The Ukrainians' desire to hold on to their last Black Sea ports, Kherson, Chornomorsk, Odessa, and so on, they're relatively safe, partly since the Russians withdrew from Kherson. Remember, they claimed the city of Kherson as an integral part of the Russian Federation in their rigged referendum. And Putin said he would defend every millimeter of the Russian Federation, and then he pulled out of Kherson rather than be his troops be forced to surrender, something like 20,000 of them. And ironically, destroying that Dnipro Dam, the Ruskis did a few months ago, has actually made Kherson safer, because yes, it's difficult for the Ukrainians to get to the east of it, but it's also very difficult for the Russians to get back west of it. But the Russians are really pummeling at the port of Odessa and trying to destroy warehouses containing grain, destroy tens of thousands of tons of it already, and any cranes or any equipment for loading or unloading it, that the Ukrainians are exporting grain down the Danube River, of course the longest river in Europe, which rises in Germany, and using that very extensive waterway that can take things all through Western Europe, or indeed into Romania, the Danube's in Romania too, and to be shipped out via the Black Sea from Romania, Romania being adjacent to Ukraine. And some of the Russian missiles have struck just across the river inside Ukraine, only 200 meters from Romania. And we know how inaccurate Russian weapons are. And by cock-up more than conspiracy, inevitably, they'll eventually land on Romania, a NATO country. What are we going to do then? And, you know, NATO countries have not responded strongly enough. When a US military drone was shot down over the Black Sea, the Americans didn't shoot down a Russian drone. I would have gone for a more expensive one. When a Russian missile, or was it wreckage from the missile, landed in Poland, again, there was no response. It doesn't have to be nuclear war or even conventional war, but something. Because why shouldn't they do it again? Why should they even be circumspect if they're not going to pay a price for it? All these escalatory reactions have not met with a proportionate response, blowing up the that dam across the Dnipro River, and so on, the numerous massacres. That's it, announcing that they would deliberately sink civilian ships in the Black Sea. I mean, wow. So the Ukrainians obviously battling also to get through to the Sea of Azov, which is really a bay of the Black Sea, very enclosed. And the Kerch Strait, whether the Ukrainian ports of Mariupol and Melitopol are illegally occupied by Russia, as well as Berdyansk. So to get there. So much of it's to do with the Black Sea. Why on earth is it called the Black Sea? As a Romanian said, a Mita Greca Antica to me years ago. It's an ancient Greek myth about someone pouring ink into the Black Sea and it all turning black. And no, it's not black. There are no sharks in the Black Sea. It's a very high salient, salient sea? Is that right? A salt content because it's so enclosed. Well, there's only 800 meters of the Bosphorus, which the Black Sea can flow into the Sea of Marmara and on into the Aegean. So the salt builds up into the Black Sea, doesn't go out of it very much. So that's the choke point to get out through Turkish waters, sailing through the middle of Istanbul, the Hellespont. So the Black Sea littoral countries are Turkey, Bulgaria, Romania, Ukraine, Russia, and Georgia. That's six of them. Moldova, and I can't remember who was saying this, some expert who should have known far better. Moldova has no coastline. It's close, but it doesn't actually have a coastline. So there's four former Soviet republics. They're talking about three: Ukraine, Russia, and Georgia. Moldova doesn't have a coastline. Romania and Bulgaria, yes, they were Warsaw Pact countries. They were communist countries until 1989. So the Russians want to protect the Crimean Peninsula, which they seized 9 years ago. The Ukrainians would like to liberate it. The Ukrainians also like to get through the Sea of Azov to break the land corridor from Russia to Crimea. Crimea would then only have the Kerch Strait Bridge, which could be very easily taken out. If the Ukrainians get to the shore of the Sea of Azov, then the whole of Azov is in range of their weapons. So is the Kerch Strait. They've obviously hit that Kerch Strait Bridge a couple of times, but they've just not been provided with the heavy weapons, the long-range missiles. That bridge could have been taken out at the beginning of the war, and that would have given the Russians real logistical problems. So Western countries have just been too circumspect. I mean, I'm not anti-Russian, I'm not anti-Ukrainian, I'm not against any nationality. I'm against this illegal war of aggression that Putin's fascist regime has started. And it's only going to stop when the Ukrainians are sufficiently well-armed to defeat Russia. And that's it. And it's an awful pity. And it's foisted on the Russian people by their regime, which is constantly lying to them and which is criminalizes truth-telling and peaceful protest. So it's an awful pity this is happening. And I wish these weapons didn't need to be provided, but that there is no peaceful way. And Putin's shown absolutely no inclination to make any concessions. That's it. And why should the Ukrainians give an inch of their territory? And why should they compromise their sovereignty at all? They are an absolutely independent country. They're entitled to do whatever they want, to apply to join the NATO, to apply to join the European Union or not, and so on, to seek weapons from any other country. And Western countries are obviously entitled to sell them arms. And it's true that other countries are entitled to sell arms to Russia, and Russia's entitled to sell them. And indeed, that goes on. Although Iran is obviously lying its arse off, saying they're not selling these Shahed drones to Russia during the war, though they only did it prior to the 24th of February 2023. So Russia's hosting a rather muted summit with African countries in St. Petersburg. I think it starts on Friday. And this started in 2019, so about the fifth edition. Admittedly, that they didn't meet in person during coronavirus. But of course, they will be mostly dist-chuffed that the grain is not getting through, grain, sunflower oil, and so on. So the world price has gone up. Now, that's actually good for Russia in a way, because it's a major exporter too. But can it supply enough? And would the Ukrainians really sink Russian merchant ships? If the Ruskies were smart, they'd get neutral ships, i.e. the Chinese, to go there to pick up the grain, on the ground that the Ukrainians wouldn't dare inflame Chinese opinion even more by sinking their merchant ships. We shall see. So much of this is about the sea. Makes me think of Alfred Thayer Mahan's book, The Influence of Sea Power Upon World History. So still actually quite important for transporting things. So about 10% of Ukraine's GDP is based on export of grain, wheat, sunflower oil, things like that. And they'll still be able to export some, but just not as much. And the cost of exports going to get higher. Right, thanks for watching. So make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate on PayPal, georgecallahan79@gmail.com. Toodlepip.